This is episode 195 of Extraordinary Women Radio. Welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio. I am your host, Cami Gellner. Women are being called to lead with voice, vitality, and vigor. Each week, join me for wisdom-filled interviews with extraordinary women living out loud and making a difference in our world. Their stories will uplift, inspire, and spark your own purpose-driven journey. Hello, my extraordinary women friends. We are going to keep our focus on our wellness this week as I introduce you to Naz Beheshti, the author of Pause, Breathe, Choose, Become the CEO of Your Well-Being. She is an executive wellness coach, a speaker, a Forbes contributor, and CEO and founder of PranaNaz, a company that provides corporate wellness solutions for improving employee engagement and well-being, company culture, and business outcomes. Her clients include Nike, JP Morgan Chase, Omega Institute, UCSF, Columbia University, and Stanford University. Naz has co-founded Rise to Shine, a nonprofit helping to alleviate the suffering of young children in Haiti. Let's meet Naz Beheshti. Well, welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio, Naz. It's really great to meet you.
It's wonderful to meet you. Thank you for having me, Cami.
Oh, you bet. You bet. And where are you calling from today?
I am calling from New York City.
Ah, very good. How is New York City this time of year? Probably really nice.
It's beautiful. Yeah. Today is sunny, gorgeous blue skies, and the cherry blossoms have just begun to bloom. So it's beautiful.
Oh, that's awesome. That sounds really lovely. We're not quite there here in Colorado. We've had some lovely days, but it's still, we're going to have some rain here this afternoon. It's cooling down. I just was outside and I can tell it's cooler out. So I'm ready for spring. I'm ready for blossoms and grass and all that good stuff.
Me too.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and your book just launched. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Yeah. February 2nd.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. That's always such a big accomplishment to get your book out the door. And I look forward to diving in and hearing more about the book. And where I want to start with is I want to start with some of your personal stories and hear some of your journey that's gotten you to this place where you're at. And I know you credit Steve Jobs as your first boss and mentor. And the inspiration behind your book, Pause, Breathe, Choose, he was known as a pretty intense guy and a reputation for being a bit difficult to work for. What was your experience with him like?
Well, you're not off with that. It was definitely intense. He was definitely intense and the experience was definitely intense. But, you know, in my opinion, with good reason, most visionaries are intense.
Right. Absolutely.
And yeah. So I don't hold it against him. He was an iconic visionary and, you know, super laser focused and very ambitious. So, I mean, with good reason, he was intense and he always demanded excellence, which has always been evident in Apple brand. That's how Apple came to be with through his perfectionism and excellence and vision. And, you know, at the time working for Steve, I didn't have much to compare it to since it was really my first job out of college.
Wow.
But in hindsight, yeah, right out of college, just went straight
just roll
to
your
Apple.
Sleeves up.
Exactly. Steve Jobs was my first boss and mentor at an early age, in my early 20s. But, you know, as I said, like, I didn't have anything to, you know, compare my first job to. So in hindsight, my experience working for him truly set me on the path to discover my passion and purpose. So I would definitely say that my experience at Apple working with Steve was highly influential and inspiring, probably the most out of any work experience I had, even following that experience.
What did you learn from that time that you really carried forward in your career?
Well, at the time working for him in my early 20s, I was not very health conscious or self-aware as I am today. And so the lessons that Steve taught me that I carry with me today are his daily healthy habits for high performance.
Oh, interesting.
Because, yeah, you know, there's a big misconception that Steve was a workaholic. Yes, he worked hard and a lot, but he knew how to take care of himself. And without being mindful to his self-care and prioritizing it, I truly don't think that Apple would be the company it is today. And Steve wouldn't have been able to maintain and sustain his level of energy, focus, creativity, all the things he needed for a successful company and career. And so his healthy lifestyle is what I really adopted and, you know, translated into a holistic approach to live your best life. And so I meditate daily. I exercise regularly daily, actually, eat healthily and have strong relationships, all of which I saw firsthand Steve practice on a daily basis. And so that is really the biggest, you know, lesson that I take with me every day and use even with my clients and in my teachings and my, you know, consulting for corporate wellness and all of the above, basically. It's fundamental to my life and practice and the book.
Well, exactly. And it's so important. I was in the corporate world for 20 plus years and I can just think of so often wellness and healthy practices was not part of our day-to-day routines. And so what a great gift that you learned that so early on. Where did you evolve from Apple to becoming a wellness coach?
Well, after Apple, I wanted to expand my experience. So I went to a tech startup where I wore many hats and helped the company grow from 19 employees when I started to 120 employees. And then I decided to shift gears, thanks to my boyfriend at the time, and applied for a junior sales role at Yahoo, which was the Google of its time back in the mid-2000s. And I ended up getting an offer for an account executive role, a higher position than I applied for. So I really took that challenge and, you know, it was really fun and challenging and excelled in that role until I got bored. So I left Yahoo, and with the intention of becoming an entrepreneur, I loved yoga and became a certified yoga instructor with a plan of opening up my own yoga wellness center. But then got sucked back into the corporate world, back into a sales job, you know, wearing, getting stuck with the golden handcuffs in pharmaceutical sales at AstraZeneca. And that job was, again, fun, challenging, interesting in the beginning until it wasn't. And then I got bored again. I was just unfulfilled. And there was just always something missing. And I always knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur and do something that I was passionate about and that, you know, made meaningful impact. And I just kept getting sucked back into these roles. And it was great because I learned, you know, a lot of different skills, met a lot of great people along the way. But then I knew after a decade of kind of bouncing around in a few different companies and kind of gaining the experience I wanted to get, and then, you know, I knew it was time. It was time to really follow my passion and purpose, which at the time I was still exploring. I didn't know exactly what it was. I knew I loved yoga. I started getting healthier by experimenting with different, you know, diets and exercise, yoga, just different things to help me with the stress that I was experiencing first in Steve Jobs' office and in the tech startup I was in. Working at. And as you mentioned, you're absolutely right. There was not much support in the companies back then. Employee well-being, corporate wellness was not common back then. And so I realized that there was a need to help people like how I was feeling, you know, in different roles, not being supported, not having the tools and strategies to manage my stress. And really wanted to help those people because I was one of them and I knew what it was like. And so I felt that I with my own personal experimentation and kind of what I call taking explorative action to figure out how to manage stress, how to find what your passion and purpose is by just kind of stepping out of my comfort zone, trying new things, traveling. I went back to school to be a holistic health coach. I became certified as a transformational coach. And so with all these learnings in my professional and personal development and career, as well as my psychology degree, I put it all together and was planning to, I was doing all this simultaneously while I was working at AstraZeneca. And when I was planning, so I was really extra busy going back to school, working.
Yes.
But I wanted to somehow, like, I was going to wait until I graduated and then quit my job and start my corporate wellness company, because I knew that that was something I wanted to do and help others in the professional setting. And I decided to take a trip to India, a six-week trip to India by myself. And because of my passion for yoga, I decided to go to the yoga capital of the world, Rishikesh. And I just had some life-changing experiences, encounters with monks, and then a five-day teaching at the Dalai Lama's residence in Dharamshala.
Wow.
And it was just all pointing and confirming and validating me to start my own business in doing what I love to do. And so I didn't wait till I graduated. I came back, and the day after my trip, when I returned, I quit my job at AstraZeneca.
So let's talk about, can you share a little bit about what you experienced when you were there for 6 weeks? What did your body go through coming out of the busy, you know, life that you'd been living, landing in India? Just give us a little bit of feel for what happened while you were there.
Well, yeah, the catalyst for the trip was twofold. Was one, I was just so unfulfilled and needed, you know, step out of my comfort zone and discover perhaps, you know, answers and more clarity of the direction I was going in. Because in my mind, I felt like I was going to go into the corporate wellness and executive coaching route, or just coaching, not even executive, but just professional coaching. And then the other side of it was that I was heartbroken and just shattered coming out of a very long-term relationship. And so I felt like I just needed to go and find more clarity and discover what it was like that was missing and what I need, how I need to move forward. And I needed to do this on my own, because I just needed that space and time away from my everyday life. So it was quite intense and also liberating, because I had never traveled alone for that long in a really foreign country. I had never been to India before. And I encountered some not so pleasant experiences that were actually pretty life-threatening and scary at times. And then there were times that were just magical and so uplifting. I felt like I was not even in my body. It was like out of body experiences that were basically, if I had to be in my body, it was aligning. The best way I could describe it is like aligning my mind and my heart opening up so wide to be able to hear my truest heart's desires. When before that, I was more living in my head. And my heart was kind of closed and shattered at that point because of that relationship I had just come out of. So it was just an alignment of like validating where I was and where I was meant to go, and that I was on the right path, because everything was pointing towards, yes, you got to quit your job and you're on the right path to serve the people that, you know, are stressed, burnt out, who are perhaps unfulfilled and looking for passion and purpose in their lives. And so all the answers were just right there, right in front of me. And the clarity was just, you know, so strong and so clear. And so that's kind of how that trip transpired, as one of the most life-changing and amazing trips of my life.
Right. That sounds like it was really an important part of this journey. And all of the, you know, the positives, the negatives, the pieces that came along with that helped you move. And it feels like it, you know, really opened up your door to this next evolution of you.
It really did. And it gave me so much confidence and just liberated me from the past. It was like, okay, now I'm ready to start a whole new, not even chapter of my life, but a new book. Like that was like a completely different story and book before that trip. And then that trip really set me on the path to a whole nother life.
And as you're thinking back to that and reflecting on, you know, obviously it gave you lots of signposts that said, go in a different direction. What did you feel in your body? What shifted inside of you that allowed you to just say yes to it all?
It was really the feeling of an openness of my heart. I don't know how to explain. My heart just opened up. It like burst open because it was so closed. It was so constricted. Even my breath, as much as I was doing yoga at that time, even my breath was more, my prana, as I talk about in my book, you know, my life force, my breath, life energy. It was just so fluid and light and effortless. And I just felt so much lighter, you know, like as if something had been lifted from me that was so heavy and bogging me down. Like each step, each breath was so heavy, you know. And then when I was there, I felt so light and, you know, grounded though at the same time. Light as if I could lift myself up, but yet grounded. I know that's a little contradictory, but that's how I felt, like grounded in that I was so confident and just sure about my decision, about my direction, but then light in that I didn't have all that heaviness bogging me down. That was mostly living in my mind, that chatter, that constant, incessant chatter, that inner critic.
And I get the grounded with the lightness because you become in a flow versus in a drive and a push. You found this opening for yourself where you were really able to fill into it. The universe is all in behind you then saying, yes, you're listening. Thank you.
Yeah. Totally. And then all the signs, like the people I would meet, the monks that I met, like everything just, I mean, it's like, okay, I was supposed to meet you. You were supposed to say that. And I was supposed to receive it this way. Thank you. You know, everything was like coming in my path at the exact right time, the right words, the right energy, the right everything. It was so synchronistic that it was almost like comical. Like, yeah, of course that had to happen. Of course I had to cross paths with this monk that hasn't spoken in 19 years, yet I had the most profound interaction with him without even exchanging words, you know, meditated in a cave with him. I mean, it's just like, how did that happen? I would have never thought that walking and going on a hike that day, I was going to end up meeting this monk and he was going to, you know, change my life. I still, you know, tap into that feeling of that moment of meeting him and then meditating with this monk for like, you know, hours in his cave. And it was just so, it's like hard to describe in words how meaningful and impactful that experience was, more so than any like, you know, conversation or class or book I've read. It was just, it was basic exchange of energy and being in the right place at the right time and being open to receiving that.
Yes.
And the messages that followed.
So divinely guided and even how you opened up to it and said yes to it. I mean, because you could have said no, but there was something there that allowed you to trust.
Right. And I don't even know if I would be conscious or like a decade prior, if I was in that, I probably wouldn't be in that situation. Right.
Right.
I wouldn't have probably chosen to go to India or whatever, but even being there, maybe halfway point mentally and emotionally being prepared for that situation. If I wasn't mindful and open to receiving it, it's not even really about saying no to it, I might have just missed it. I might not even had the opportunity to say no. I might have just not even realize what was happening if right. I wasn't ready, willing, and able to receive what was happening right in front of me.
I totally get that. I mean, I just think how I personally have evolved over the years and how I can tap into those spirit-based messages or those, you know, that divinely guided message and pathway and journey and where we say yes to things that we might not have said yes to. All of it's so beautiful. So what a beautiful journey that you've been on. And then you came back and you started your company. You quit your job and you started your company. So tell us a little bit about the work that you do.
Well, I have to say that I'm super grateful every day that I discovered and pursued my passion and purpose and really have an opportunity to live it every day. Because some people, you know, discover it, but then what's important is actually to pursue it and do something about it, which I can say that I truly, truly love what I do as an executive wellness coach. I get to help leaders fulfill their highest business, personal, and social potential so that they too can live their best life. And, you know, as CEO of Prana Nas, I work with companies to improve leadership effectiveness, employee well-being and engagement, as well as improving, you know, company culture. So it's really a win-win in terms of helping employees and employers succeed. And I take a very holistic approach to well-being. So it's not like a siloed program in just like one area of just like health, like a lot of employee wellness or health programs are. It's really how all areas of one's life are interconnected. And that includes, you know, fulfilling relationships, having a purpose-driven life or sense of purpose and satisfaction, having regular physical activity, proper nutrition, sleep, and a fulfilling career, of course. So it's like all of those things are interconnected, and also relationships is really important, having, healthy relationships. So when you look into how you're showing up as your best self in all areas of your life, you're no longer compromising one or the other because they're all interconnected. Whereas a lot of coaches or executive coaches are just focused on career and their work life. But a lot of my clients, when I ask why they chose me after, you know, interviewing and meeting with many other coaches, they say because they like my holistic approach, and they felt that that was different in that, you know, they needed that, what I call work-life integration or work-life engagement rather than work-life balance. But that is so needed when people are so stressed out these days and on the verge, if not burnt out.
Right, right. And I wholly agree with you as far as it's all life, right? I mean, if we're showing up in work and we're stressed out and we bring that home, and it just becomes an ugly spiral. And so finding a way to really step into life wholly can be such a freeing, you know, when we become much more free in our bodies, in our pathways, in our journeys, when we can really step into life much more holistically. My work is with entrepreneurs, and that is it's an intricate part of working with my clients is, you know, working with body, working with mindset, working with how they spirit, however they spirit, helping them be in community. All of that's an intricate part of being an entrepreneur. So I think that, you know, whether you're in a corporate world, whether you're an entrepreneur, these kind of skill sets can they're some of the most important things that we can do to help succeed. And I think that's what you talk about in your book, when you're talking about pause, breathe, choose, become the CEO of your well-being. That to me feels like, I mean, what happens when you see people, when you see your clients start to pause, breathe, and choose, what happens for them in their life and in their careers?
Well, it shifts. When they're mindful and they're able to be mindful to take that pause, because if we're not mindful, we don't know that we should even be taking that pause. We just continue
just
on either autopilot autopilot, just go, or spiral downwards, you know, not even So the pause is such a necessary step, but it's based from a fundamental mindfulness practice and taking mindfulness into action. Like pause, breathe, choose, in a nutshell, it translates into mindfulness and action. So mm-hmm. when you are mindful to take that pause, and then you can remind yourself to take a conscious breath. I mean, we're always breathing, but are we conscious of that breath? Typically, we're not. And so when you just take a deep inhale and exhale and continue that, or even just one, it just mindfully brings you into the present moment and also relaxes you and helps you shift a stressful or negative or whatever negative state you were in previously. If it's a negative state, it's a helpful way to shift your state, whatever it was before, and then helps you re-engage you with the present moment so that then you're better equipped to make a mindful choice, a better choice, rather than not being mindful and just choosing making choices that may not be in your best interest.
Right. And in this past year, I mean, such a crazy year for everyone. And what a good year to practice this, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. What do you think the impact on this past year is going to have on business leaders going forward, coming out of this year?
Well, I think that there will be a huge, understanding that resilience is essential, because resilience and agility, adaptability, when something as large and impactful as a global pandemic hit, and so many people felt, especially in the beginning and perhaps still feel, fearful, uncertain, just scared of what's going to happen because they don't know what's going to happen. So that all the ambiguity and uncertainty of the future can really paralyze people when they're so used to doing things a certain way, and when the whole world, shuts down and changes from what you're used to something that you have no idea how to, proceed. I think it's going to have taught business leaders and just everyone to be able to adapt better and learn from this experience and not get so attached to outcomes that are out of one's control at times. I mean, this was completely out of our control. So business leaders and people who are resilient and agile have a competitive advantage and are better equipped to adapt to all the volatility and uncertainty and, complexity of the world that we're living in today, and what may happen again in the future, who knows, in a different way. But as long as we're resilient and agile, we are better equipped to handle the world.
And how do you recommend people really build that resiliency and that agility in their just day-to-day lives? What are some of the things you teach around that?
Well, my whole book has so many different action steps and business hacks, over 80 proven ways. My favorite is my morning routine, which is my meditation and my movement. Those are two things. Moving my body is so important daily, and then my meditation practice. And also I have a gratitude practice. So like those three things are non-negotiables daily that I practice that are really life-changing when you're consistent with it. It's not something that you just do once or twice a week and say, okay, I exercise this week, or I practice gratitude. It's really daily. It becomes a habit and a lifestyle. And, like I said, I have so many different ones in the book, and it's just impossible to just adopt all of them every day, but you could try them and take explorative action, see what resonates most. You may already be doing those things, listeners may already be doing a lot or some of them, but then try some things that you haven't tried before. See how you, like them, how you feel after doing something that is good for you, for a few weeks.
Right.
And see what changes, right? Because it's all about making better choices and adopting a healthy lifestyle in both mind and behavior.
Right. I know my morning rituals are huge for me as well. And it's when, if I do miss them, I feel it. It's my body feels differently in the day. And so it's that practice of just making that happen every day is so powerful.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you. And I have to miss it like one day for whatever reason. I just feel so terrible. I just feel like I almost feel like guilty that I gave up something that was so important, even if it's just one day. And so mm-hmm. what I try to do is like, instead of I practice TM, which is 20 minutes twice a day, but instead of if I can't commit to the full 20 minutes in the morning, I'll do 2 minutes, and right. like 2 minutes is better than 0 minutes.
Totally.
And then I can at least feel like, okay, I still did it. And I still kept mentally with my routine of that morning routine. I just cut it short, but there was still consistency, and consistency is key.
Yes, I do. I use Insight Timer. And so I totally do exactly the same thing. It's like my typical is a 20 minute, but if I can, if it's like a tight morning, I have an event or something that day, it's like, okay, 5 minutes is way better than, not mm-hmm. doing it at all. And you notice that, and your body's grateful for that.
Absolutely. So grateful. Yeah. It's so much better than missing it completely. Even exercise, like some people think, oh, I need to work out for an hour. I haven't worked out for an hour for gosh, I don't know how long, but when I was working out for an hour, I only was able to do it like 3 or 4 times a week at most. Now I'm working out 7 days a week, but only 20 to 30 minutes, sometimes mm-hmm. only 5 minutes, which is, again, those are the days I just couldn't get both my meditation and workout in, I didn't have the time. But mm-hmm. again, 5 minutes of just working out, like on my mat, I just roll out my mat and do some movement is so much better than not moving your body. So that is like absolute key.
And I had somebody tell me this the other day. They said, if you can't make that 5 minutes or 10 minutes for your body in that morning, what is that saying about life, right? I mean, there's something to really pause and consider on that. It's like, well, yeah, if you can't take 5, 10, 15 minutes for your life on a daily basis, that's probably telling you something. And usually when I feel that stress of, gosh, I have so much to do today, those are the most important days that we can pause and make that kind of space.
Absolutely. Those are the days you need that meditation
exactly.
or whatever you're doing most. Right.
Yeah.
And so that's where I would suggest do the pause, breathe, choose. Like pause, and then it doesn't have to be in your morning routine. It could be any time in the day where you just are mindfully aware that you need that pause, whether it's just like even 10 seconds, 30 seconds to just breathe, right? And then choose to do what you want to do next more wisely, right? The pause, breathe, choose could be applied anytime, anywhere for any duration. Like I could pause for, like I said, 10 to 20 seconds, but then I also consider my trip to India, which was 6 weeks, a pause.
Right.
That was a huge pause.
Which is fabulous. Right? I love that. Right.
Yeah. Right. So the pause, you make that pause what works for you. That could, the timing is all about what you need, what works for you. It doesn't have to be a minute, 2 minutes, 10 minutes. It could be 6 weeks. It could be 6 months or 6 years, whatever you need a pause from. So make it work for you.
Such good advice. So in your book, you talk about a productivity trap. Can you tell us a little bit about what that is and just tell us how to avoid that?
Yes, the famous productivity trap that I love to talk about because everybody, it's a little counterintuitive because people always want to be productive, right? I mean, I even catch myself saying like, oh, I was really productive today. But there's mm-hmm. different ways of productivity. There is the constant chasing of productivity through more hours and more efficient time management that will land you in the productivity trap because when we can avoid the productivity trap by being mindful of the quality of our work instead of the number of hours, and being aware of managing our energy rather than our time. So even, you know, in a lot of companies, I talk about time management. And then when I go in there, I kind of shift that, turn that on its head and talk about energy management instead, because it's not about time management. We all have the same number of hours in the day, but right. everybody has different energy levels, right? And, you know, we just have to be more productive with awareness, because without awareness, we're creating a wellness gap and we're masking early signs of burnout. So we really want to kind of make sure that we are aware of when in the day are we most energized and have that energy, so that we can optimize that time with that high energy. And then perhaps do the things that your least favorite tasks or responsibilities when you have the highest energy, because typically we save the things that we procrastinate, the things that we don't necessarily want to do or just aren't sure how to do until later, because we're not motivated to do it. And then later is when we potentially don't have the energy, right? So then that just, it's a perpetual procrastination, and then you're not managing your energy. You're just procrastinating things and pushing things, and then you're you know, late on deadlines or projects or whatever it is. But we want to avoid the productivity trap of, you know, sacrificing, working so hard and not being mindful of our energy, and sacrificing, you know, eating well, sleeping, restorative sleep. You know, people work till late hours and say, I don't need that much sleep, or I had to work late, or I had to wake up really early because I need to do, you know, get to a certain meeting or this and that. Well, when you sacrifice your self-care and at the expense of being, you know, productive, then you're widening that wellness gap, and you have fallen into the productivity trap, because that's no longer productive. It's counterproductive when you're compromising your health.
You're really just spinning your wheels, being busy, 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 and not actually putting your time towards what's going to be most effective for you, and using your energy where it's going to be most effective. I love that. Such good advice.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's as long as you're mindful. Again, everything we talk about and everything my book stems from mindfulness, because if we aren't mindful, we aren't even aware that we're in the productivity trap or going towards that direction, because it all stems from that self-awareness.
Right, right. So what a good year for your book to come out. Did you plan that?
Hopefully. Absolutely not. I did not have a crystal ball and plan the pandemic, but I'm glad it is helpful for this time that people are experiencing major stress and burnout. And, you know, it is very helpful for people's state of being at this point.
Yes, absolutely. Again, that book is Pause, Breathe, Choose, Become the CEO of Your Well-Being. Where can people learn more about you and your business?
You can find me at nazbeheshti.com to learn more about me and my book. And then my corporate wellness site is prananaz.com. And then I'm on all social media, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook in Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter as Naz Beheshti, and Clubhouse as Naz Beheshti. And then on Facebook, Naz Beheshti Speaker how you can find me.
Okay, very good. The final question I always close with are, what three pearls of wisdom would you like to leave with our audience today?
Ooh, only three. Wow. there's so many. But I would have to say, to apply to your daily life, to just bring it down on a micro level, would be to meditate daily, move daily, and make meaningful impact doing what you love, whatever that is.
We speak the same language. I love it. Totally love it. Well, Nas, this has been a lot of fun and so much good wisdom here. I'm going to really pay attention to the energy, the productivity trap, and really thinking about it from an energetic perspective. I love that. And thank you for all you're putting out into the world.
Oh, thank you so much. The pleasure was all mine. Thank you for having me.
You bet. I hope you liked this episode of Extraordinary Women Radio. If you did, please share this podcast with your own special tribe of women and help spread the love, the dreams, and the inspiration. Are you ready to raise up your voice, your visibility, and your business? I invite you to join the conversation in my Facebook group, Extraordinary Women Connect. This group brings together changemaker women entrepreneurs who want to elevate their business for impact. It is a place for powerful connections and collaborations. It is a place to be inspired, uplifted, and fired up for action. To learn more about my work that helps women entrepreneurs make heartfelt connections to mindful growth strategies, visit my website at cammygelner.com. Till next time, my friend, listen to your heart, follow your dreams, and be you.